Part 2. I'm going to assume that you know nothing about the Bible, and we'll start from scratch. In order for you to understand what this step of faith we talked about earlier is, I have to give you a history lesson. This history lesson is straight from the Bible. Now, I'm not going to read the entire chapters and stuff. I'm just going to pick out the highlights to make my point to you. Okay, if we start with Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Most people know that Christians believe that. You know, we also believe that God made the animals and the trees and everything. But I'm going to skip over that part to just hit the highlights, like I said. So we go on to Genesis 1:27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Pretty self-explanatory. You know, God created man and the woman. Here's what follows this. In Genesis 2:15 through 17, it says the following. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" This seems like simple instructions, right? Well, let's summarize. God creates the earth, then he creates the first couple, Adam and Eve. He puts them in the Garden of Eden to live. But see, there's one small problem. The devil, he was around even back then. And what did he do? He talked Eve into eating of the tree, and she gave some to Adam. Let's go to the Bible and see how he did this. In Genesis 3:4, it says the following, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." See, this is something the devil is really good at. Half-truths. See, because their eyes were opened and they did know the difference between good and evil. But the part that he didn't tell them is, remember what God said at the beginning? "For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Wow, what a price to pay for a bite of an apple. This is what the first sin was. It made it to where we know good and evil, but it also brought about death. Let's read on. Genesis 3:22 through 24. "And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." What does this scripture mean? Well, God kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. Was it that God didn't want them to live forever? No, I don't think so. I think it was that he didn't want them to live forever in that condition. He wanted them to be righteous. But why righteous? See, there's one thing you need to know. That is that God cannot tolerate wrong. If you read Habakkuk 1:13, it says, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong." So if God cannot tolerate wrong, in order for us to be in his presence, he had to make a way for us to get there. And thankfully, he loved us enough to where he came up with a way for that to happen. Let's see how. One thing we have to know, that's because of what happened there in the Garden of Eden. We now all have the nature to do wrong. In other words, to sin. Why? Because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We're born with it. If you read Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we all sin, we can't help it. Are we sure about that? Sin is doing wrong. Do you ever do wrong? I know I do. I can't help it. I don't want to, but I still do. So I do truly believe what the Bible says. You know, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God, knowing humans would never be able to live perfect lives, he created a way for our sins to be dealt with and for us to be able to get back into a relationship with Him. You say, why was that necessary? Remember what we read earlier in Habakkuk 1:13? It says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. See, when a wrong is done, it has to be made right. Somebody has to pay the price. It's no different than when you go to court in this day and age. When somebody messes up, you know, if you're speeding, you might get a speeding ticket. If somebody kills somebody, they may get the death sentence. Somebody has to pay the price. Same way with our sins. Somebody has to pay the price for those sins. And God had to come up with a way for our sins to be forgiven. Let's see how He did this. If you look at all the sins committed in the whole world, over all the years the world has been around, that is a lot of sin. What or who would possibly be able to pay for all this? There was only one way all this sin could be dealt with, and that's through Jesus Christ. Who is this? Who is Jesus Christ? It's the Son of God. He came to this world and died to pay for our sins. He died on a cross, was buried, and rose 3 days later, and is now with God the Father preparing a place for us. Why did God do this? What does God want from us? Why, it's easy. God loves us. But what does He want from us? He wants us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He wants us to admit our sins, turn from them, and with His help live our lives for Him instead of ourselves. In return, we get to spend eternity in heaven. In return, our lives will take on meaning. We will have something to live for. How do we know all this to be true? It's promised to us in the Bible. And as we established earlier, the Bible is the Word of God. And if it is the Word of God, we can believe this. So where does it tell us that God said all this? Let's start in Titus 1:2. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Then we go to John 3:16-17. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Isn't that awesome? One thing about all this, there's no way we can earn this gift. There's no way that we will ever deserve this gift. God gives this gift to us because He loves us and wants the very best for us. He gives us the gift of eternal life. Let's read Ephesians 2:8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In other words, you can't work your way into heaven by being a good person. No matter how good you are, you still do wrong. That's why God made it. To where it is not because of what we do, rather it is by what He did that we can get to heaven. So how do you do this? How do you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Let's read Romans 10:9-13. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who puts his trust in Him will never be put to shame. Now that you know what God wants for you, it's your choice. What do you want for your life? If your life is like mine used to be, there's something missing that you've been looking for. Here's what it takes to fill this hole. It doesn't matter what you have done in your past. There's absolutely nothing Jesus hasn't already paid for. So please, reach out, grab life before you miss your chance. You say, miss your chance? What are you talking about? Well, I have this big truck theory. You never know what's going to happen. What if you accidentally step in front of one? It would be a real shame if you didn't get to meet Jesus as your Savior. If you want to take the step of faith, Let me lead you in a prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I'm unworthy of your mercy. Please forgive me for all I've done. I believe that Jesus came to this earth and died in my place to pay the price for my sin. I believe he rose 3 days later and is now in heaven preparing a place for us. Please help me to change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you genuinely said this prayer, in other words, if you didn't just say the words, if you truly meant in your heart what we just said, Jesus just came into your life as your Savior, you're now a child of God. I want to welcome you to the family of God. Is this all there is? No, actually, this is just the beginning. Please listen to part 3 of this CD to see what to do now and where to go from here.